Hi, this is Matt Hill, the voice of Captain N, the Game Master, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Good brain here. I like listening to TuneCast while trying to take over the world.
Hello and welcome to TuneCast. This is episode 302. That's right, folks, 302 episodes. We are continuing on with the TuneCast origins here on the GeekCast Radio Network. I am, of course, TFG and Mike, and this time around we have the origins of Toonster Josh the Floorburger. Hello, sir. How are you?
Oh, hey. It's been a little bit of a time since I last heard your intro. It actually kind of threw me off. I had to take my headphones off for a second.
This is not the normal. This is not the intro you're used to. This is not the intro you're looking for. Different show. This is the problem.
I totally got thrown off.
This is not true.
Since we were talking a little bit about Star Wars before we got into recording.
Yes.
We call that a segue.
I don't like writing those things. I fall off of them. All right, so this is all about cartoons, 30 questions. And did you grow up watching cartoons, and what were some of your earliest cartoon memories?
First answer is yes. Second answer is, what are my earliest memories? I should have taken my Ginkgo biloba. Biloba? Ginkgo biloba? Ginseng? Stuff that helps your memory, because I have the memory of a... I can't remember, but it's those things that have really bad memories. So you're asking, what is my earliest memory of cartoons?
Yep.
I grew up briefly for about 5 years in Chicago, from birth through about 5 years old, mm-hmm. before moving. And first half of kindergarten, we had those half days. So you either went to school from like 8 to 12 or 12 to 4, depending on whatever your schedule was. And depending on your parents' work schedule, in my neighborhood, there was a rotating child care system of, hey, three or four kids are going to go stay with this family until school starts at 12.
Yep.
Or whatever. So I would say one of my first memories I have of cartoons, as far as I can go back, I probably watched cartoons before this, but was going to one house that had, I can't even describe the smell of the house. It was just an 80s house, but I do remember it. And they had the whole basement set up as a daycare. I don't know if that was on purpose or just coincidence, but they had everything from your kitchen playset to random toys. And we would watch Ninja Turtles in the basement. So even when I had gotten in trouble and I was punished and I couldn't watch Ninja Turtles, when I went to daycare, guess what we were watching?
Ninja Turtles.
And that was one of my earliest memories of watching cartoons. 100% it was Ninja Turtles. I guarantee we were also watching Ghostbusters. We were watching G.I. Joe, Transformers. I guarantee I was watching all of that. I just don't have memories of it. But that's being born in 84. I really think that I only started getting conscious and understanding of things when I was like 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. So those are the cartoons I would say I have the clearest memories of.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned Turtles, you mentioned Transformers, you mentioned all that stuff. Were you more of a Saturday morning cartoon watcher, or after school, or both? Or I know you said morning or afternoon, but which did you prefer more, weekday or weekend cartoons?
I think it really varied on my availability. I know I loved watching cartoons before I went off to school. I'd wake up early enough and watch what I could. We didn't have cable until 95. Mm-hmm. So we were reliant on any cartoons that would be available in the Chicagoland area on like Channel 26 or Channel 50 or Channel 32, which eventually slowly but surely went away. I know I watched cartoons on Saturday mornings, but my family grew up playing baseball, and Saturdays you either had baseball games in the mornings, you had baseball games in the early afternoon or at night.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was a conflict there, I usually didn't get to watch on Saturday mornings. Sunday mornings actually were more of my personal jam. I would wake up early. I would go into, this is before I had my own room. I shared a room with my brother. Sunday morning, I would get up before anybody in my family. I'm saying 5:30 in the morning. And mm-hmm. I had this old school tube TV, in order to turn it on, you had to pull a knob out of the TV. It had a little switch you had to pull out. It only had 8, 9, 10 channels. And I would watch cartoons on channel 26 and channel 50 out by us. It was WFLD and WCIU. And it would be everything from King Arthur and the Knights of Justice to Gargoyles to Extreme Dinosaurs, whatever was on at those times. So Sundays were sort of my primary day for a couple of years. And then eventually when I moved into that guest room as my room, Sunday mornings were the morning to watch cartoons for me.
Absolutely. Yeah, Sundays for me was all about the Three Stooges. Saturday was cartoons. Sunday was Three Stooges. What was your number one favorite cartoon as a kid?
Oh, I think I grew up being born, again, in 84, so mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
I think growing up in that period of time, I ran into a lot of those cartoons that had one or two series runs. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those seasons, 12 to 13 to 23 episodes.
Yeah.
So it would change depending on the year. I don't think I ever had a number one favorite cartoon. I would say the one cartoon that had the biggest impact on me, and even still as an adult, had to be Disney's Gargoyles. It had such a rich, deep mythology. It went into medieval times. It went into what the 90s viewed as sci-fi. And it was always on at those times that, as a kid, I could manage. 6:30 in the morning?
Yep.
You got it. 3 o'clock in the afternoon? I'm there for it. So I was never really challenged to find the best time to watch it because it was – I just made it work. I had so many mornings in the summer where I would just wake up early when it was on the USA Network early in the morning because they had a block of cartoons early.
USA Cartoon Express, yep.
Yeah, and Gargoyles would be on for an hour. So I could watch that all summer, catch the first two seasons. We don't talk about the third.
1,000 years ago, superstition and the sword ruled. It was a time of darkness. It was a world of fear. It was the age of gargoyles. Stone by day, warriors by night. We were betrayed by the humans we had sworn to protect, frozen in stone by a magic spell for 1,000 years. Now here in Manhattan, the spell is broken. And we live again! We are defenders of the night. We are gargoyles.
But I could watch the first two seasons without any problems. And it always worked out. So Gargoyles would probably be the one that really stuck with me. I was about 10, I think, when it came out, 9 or 10 when it came out. That was the one that I was probably the most devoted to. But I loved everything from Skeleton Warriors to Transformers when it was in its G2 mode, when you had like the 3D transforming segues between clips.
Transformers Generation 2. And now, through the magic of the Cybernet Space Cube, the computer enhanced stories of the Transformers. Transformers Generation 2.
Wrong.
G.I. Joe, I watched, but I don't think I was old enough to really comprehend what was going on. It was just people in crazy costumes shooting lasers at each other.
Yep.
And everything in between. Wildcats, I really liked. That was a short-lived cartoon. Toxic Crusader, I watched when it was out. Ninja Turtles. Pretty much anything in the 90s. If it was out, I watched it for a couple minutes. If it was more action-oriented. Mm-hmm. Comedy-oriented, The Pink Panther was a big one for me for about 2 summers. They would play The Pink Panther, I think, on WF. No. It was Channel 50. I don't remember what that was. But they would definitely show Pink Panther. I think it was WCIU. They would show the Pink Panther in the morning, and I watched 2 or 3 episodes of that in the summer times. So it varied on the summer. It varied on the year. Nothing really stuck for more than about a year or two. because that was just the nature of TV at the time.
Yeah, absolutely. So how did your cartoon watching habits change as you grew up and throughout your life?
I know that I watched a lot of cartoons even through high school. I was kind of that guy that would kind of hide that fact or minimize the fact that I was watching cartoons for very long periods of time. I know I was watching, I hate to admit it, but Digimon in high school. But Digimon was one of those animes that just kind of kept going and going and going. I never really stopped watching cartoons. It's just as my high school life, my education life changed and I had more responsibilities, as I started working more, I didn't have as much time to watch cartoons. But I watched cartoons pretty much, I never stopped. It's just my time for them minimized.
Yeah. Absolutely. How often do you go back and rewatch any of the cartoons you grew up with?
Every Halloween, I do try to watch Ghostbusters.
Uh-huh.
Ghostbusters, there are some excellent episodes that really still hold up as far as being creepy and scary and having a great mythology and a great story to be told.
Right.
Ghostbusters, though, the animation gets... It starts off a little rough, it gets a little better, and then it gets rough again.
Yeah.
So I have tried rewatching that. Some of them still hold up. G.I. Joe, I don't find to hold up very well.
Mm-hmm.
Transformers, I'm sorry, but I don't find to hold up very well.
It depends on which episode. Some episodes hold up better than others, and I don't really like... I'm one of those people that... It was made in the time that it was made. It's not meant to hold up to today's standards of whatever.
Oh, I totally understand that.
Yeah.
I will add, though, that Beast Wars, I had rewatched almost the entire series during COVID. I went back and was watching that because I was working out in my basement. I needed something to watch, so I watched almost the entire series. And the animation, obviously, is... It's weak now.
It's not really weak now. It's more of, it's like the first time 90s CGI really it along with Reboot were the first like 90s CGI show type things. So, but
and the story holds up. So that's always been my biggest critique of modern movies and TV shows. I can deal with bad special effects. I watched a lot of Doctor Who from the Ninth Doctor on. I can deal with bad special effects if I'm invested in the characters and I'm invested in the story. That's why Beast Wars always stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
There's other shows that don't really work for me as well. I go back and I watch them. So I would say... Anything that was a cartoon that was really just more designed to sell toys, when I go back and watch them, I'm not as big of a fan of them. And there are some people out there in the YouTube worlds, I'm not going to name anybody in particular, but they hold the lore for Transformers, for G.I. Joe, for Mask, for these ancient but almost divine level properties. They hold them as biblical stories. That's how important they hold. Oh, well, Flintwind did this and Hawkwind did this. That's never been me, because I always have seen those as just 22-minute toy commercials. Even as a kid, I saw that. So rewatching them is a little difficult, because sometimes the stories aren't as good as you would hope.
Which cartoons that have aired during your adulthood have you liked the most?
Oh, Rick and Morty, 100%.
Why? Explain that to me, because I just don't understand it.
So one of the reasons I like Rick and Morty is I like a broad, large, gigantic universe and world that has a lore that unfolds the more you watch it. Even as you watch this lore unfold, there's still so much more.
Mm-hmm.
there's some aspects of Rick and Morty that get really into this deep emotional sector that I think doesn't always mesh with some of the silliness. Like, I think you need to keep your silliness on a similar level as your seriousness.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go from like super silly and then you get to super serious and dark levels of existential depression and just assessing, you know, who you are as a person and what your purpose is in life. But then you have the intergalactic cable network where I can't even get into it. There's so much to get into. Okay. There is sometimes that really wide gap between the silliness and the seriousness.
Okay.
However, as far as fun animation, clever fights and action and sci-fi lore, and really taking the material seriously, it works. I liked The Simpsons for a while. I haven't watched in a long time. I really enjoy watching early seasons because that's what I grew up with. But by and large, I haven't really glommed on to any other cartoons.
You know, it's funny. We are 4 years away. I remember I actually I went to the premiere. In 2007, I went to the premiere of The Simpsons Movie, one of the theaters in whatever town it was that I was living in, had the, you know, theaters do like standees and stuff like that, but this was like, you could sit on the couch with the cast and to have a, you know, obviously it's, you know, it's a whatever. And one of the things that came out after that, after the movie came out, or maybe it was an outtake or something, we promise we won't wait another 20 years to make a sequel. Well, we're 4 years away from 20 years since The Simpsons Movie came out. Oh, God. Yeah, I haven't actively watched The Simpsons since, I want to say, season 4, maybe? I don't know. I catch it here and there. Like, if I hear, oh, God, you gotta watch this week's episode. It's this, or it's this, or it's that. I've caught episodes here and there, but anything, I think, past 93, I probably haven't seen it.
I have some pretty good memories of a lot of episodes because I would come home from school and usually catch an episode or two around 5 o'clock. They would play one, two, or three episodes in a row. And that's just what I grew up with, and I really enjoyed it. It would be hard for me to specify when I really dropped out of it, but I really do like the earlier time period, season 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think season 2 and 3 were my sweet spot at the time. 90, 91, that area. Are there any cartoons you hate or have been greatly disappointed by?
Oh, I wouldn't say I hate any cartoons. There's obviously cartoons that I never got into watching.
Uh-huh.
And that's either because of my age or my preferences. It's hard for me to say I really hate really much of anything in terms of pop culture or media. I always made the joke that I don't like, that I hate Funko Pops. I've told you multiple times I respect it, but I have the gimmick of saying I hate them.
That's a toy. This is a cartoon show.
Oh, no, I know. I'm just giving the comparison. I'm just setting the stage. No, I don't hate any cartoons. There's a lot that I really did not understand or appreciate. SpongeBob was one that I just never really embraced, but it also is when I was getting away from slapstick, unusual cartoons. I was already too old for that type of media.
Yeah.
And I was kind of getting out of cartoons as it was. I think I don't remember when Batman Beyond came out versus 99. SpongeBob. I think they were in the same realm, but I watched a lot of Batman Beyond because I thought it was a great Batman story. Yep. I looked at it like a comic book, And yep. It's the same reason why when I go to the comic store, there were three or four comics that I would pick up and 20 that I didn't.
Yep.
So there's nothing really I hated. But as far as any cartoons I may be disappointed looking back at, I mean, I think if you go with the psychological belief that people change greatly every 10 years once they become an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So if, let's say you become an adult at 18 years old, whatever. Every 10 years after that, you become a brand new person. You have a different outlook on life and a different appreciation for so much. Yeah, there's a lot of cartoons that 20 years ago, maybe I appreciated, 30 years ago I appreciated. Now I'm just like, I don't care for this as much. Ghostbusters has a lot of episodes that I don't find as good anymore.
Mm.
I'm not trying to argue with anybody who likes them.
But
I look back at He-Man and Ghostbusters and G.I. Joes. Like I mentioned before, there are people out there on the YouTubes and in the message boards that hold these cartoons as important as biblical passages. And if you stray away from the storyline of He-Man or G.I. Joe or whatever, you're a heretic. You look back at it, they're not. The quality of the writing was just to support selling toys.
No, I disagree with that. Yes, in general, that's what it was supposed to be there for, but the quality of the writing for example, since you mentioned Transformers and He-Man, let's just say I've gone through, my buddy Kevin and I have gone through all 130 episodes. We did that about 11 years ago or so. It took us a while, but we did. We went through all 130 episodes on the Powers of Grayskull series podcast, and yes, there are some really, really poorly written episodes of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, but overall, on a whole, I would say that that show has, out of 130 episodes, maybe half have really, really good stories to them, maybe.
I'm not denying that there are probably some good episodes out there. Sure. Great. There probably are. I just look back at them, and it's really hard for me to be intrigued, to be stimulated, however you want to describe it, by some of those older cartoons. And maybe it's just my reaction to some people really being fanatical about them.
I think that's what it is.
I've seen videos of people who went after Scott Knightlake, who did the mm-hmm. classics, Masters of the Universe classics video, and yeah, and almost acting like the 1500s battles between the Catholics and the Protestants, because how dare you to stray away from the faith?
It's a cartoon to sell toys.
At the end of the day, it's a cartoon to sell toys.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. At the end of the day, it is. But, and I can't stand those types of people either. But I'm just saying that there is slightly more to the writing of the cartoon series that we grew up with than just to sell the toys. And the reason why most people, and I think I mentioned this in the last podcast episode, in episode 301, is that the reason why most people feel that the 80s cartoons are 22 minutes for toys is because of all the, and I'm not trying to be political here, whatever Reagan instituted about no advertising to children or whatever the hell it was, or no, like you couldn't have toy commercials for this cartoon during its time, so whatever the hell it was, I forget what it is off the top of my head. That's probably why people felt that way, and some of it is, but you can't, not you as in Josh, but in general, people shouldn't look at those as 22-minute toy commercials, because there are a lot of great storytelling points in Masters, in Transform. Like, out of 98 episodes for Transformers, I would say, again, maybe half of those episodes for Transformers are okay, and maybe a quarter of them are really good. I can probably, if I was, you know, Ion Blaster to my head, if I needed to pull up my top five favorite Transformer episodes, whatever, because of story, it would be, oh God, I don't even know. But, like, I could probably do it if I really had to, kind of thing. But I'm not on trial here. You are.
Well, I think I'm going to be honest. This is maybe going to piss someone off. Great. It'll piss someone off. I have a pretty strong feeling that if you were to put out Transformers right now to the same people who love it, who are rabid about it, they're in their 30s and 40s. If you put out Transformers to those people right now and they never had any knowledge of it prior, but they still had their same way of digesting information and forming their opinions on that information, I don't know if they'd like it as much as they claim to at the moment. But that's just my opinion. I really think that the view on pop culture and what's out there, it's hard to get anything that's not what people think it should be. But I'll leave it there because, you know, we're hoping nobody finds me on Twitter X or whatever and decides to tell me I'm wrong. So let's move on.
Who is your end-all, be-all favorite character from any cartoon? You can pick one hero and one villain.
All right, I'm looking around my room because I have a lot of figures of some of my favorite cartoon characters. End-all, be-all, because this is also my favorite action figure, is Flint from Ecoforce when he was in his neon green duds fighting pollution. And favorite villain? Put me on the spot for end-all, be-all. So I said Flint from G.I. Joe. I think for cartoons, Joker from Batman the Animated Series.
Okay.
Damn it.
Now we heard that.
Ooh. Technical difficulties. Let's move on, shall we?
Yeah, that's my 20-pound phone.
Oh, Lord.
But, yes, Joker would be end-all-be-all cartoon villain.
Very cool, very cool. What are some other cartoon characters you like? Are there any that you hate?
Cartoon characters I like. I really enjoyed a lot of the characters from Skeleton Warriors. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the series.
Mm-hmm.
I feel, even though that series was supposed to be a spiritual ancestor to He-Man, if you compare a lot of what was going on in that show to He-Man, there's a lot of parallels, a lot of similarities. It's basically as if when you're a kid and you're asking to copy off of someone and they say, just make it look a little bit different, copy down my answers. It's pretty much what Skeleton Warriors was, but I really enjoyed the whole cast of that. There was a short-lived Mega Man cartoon that I really enjoyed. The Legend of Zelda cartoon with Link as kind of a surfer dude who always said, excuse me, princess. That was a line in my family for as long as I can remember. When my mom thought my brothers and I were giving her attitude, she would just say, well, excuse me, princess, and we pretty much shut up at that point.
I gotta argue just a little bit on that, because the way that you said it, like, Link was not surfer dude at all in that show. And the way that you just said, excuse me, I'm like, that's not – no, it's exaggerated. Well, excuse me, princess.
Well, I'm hoping you'll put in the actual audio clip in the final version of this podcast. However, I felt there was a little surfer vibe to him, even watching back now.
There isn't.
Okay. Thank you, referee, for pointing that out. But – I did always appreciate that character. I liked the Botsmaster from the show The Botsmaster, Ziv Zoolander. That is an obscure, random show that was in reruns like crazy, and I always enjoyed that. Goliath from Gargoyles, Elisa Mazza from Gargoyles. Again, I'm looking around my room for any other options. Peter Venkman from the original Real Ghostbusters when it was written by Michael J. Straczynski because he was a genius. Even the short-lived one-season terrible cartoons like the Chuck Norris Karate Commando Hour, Captain Planet was amazing. As far as hating, you asked that before. I don't really hate any cartoon characters, and I think if you were to ask me this as a kid, if I was 13, I'd have a very different answer. Right now, I'm sort of indifferent. You know, it is what it is. Like I'm an adult. I can handle things. Right. A lot differently with more tolerance than when I was a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, somebody, I did some, I think in the middle of the last podcast, I did some quick research and I'm like, how did that only have 5 episodes, but this had 20? Oh, I know what it was. Chuck Norris's Karate Commandos versus the Rambo animated series. Rambo got 26 episodes. Chuck Norris got 5. For one season.
Chuck Norris had, surprisingly, a very elaborate... I know this is not a toy show, but... The toys that came out for Chuck Norris, I think, were quite excellent and on par with Rambo. But, yeah, I don't really hate any cartoon characters of the cartoons I chose to watch. I watched them because I enjoyed them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you never know. That's why we have to ask the hard questions around here. Who are some of your favorite cartoon voices and or voice actors?
Peter David, if you're familiar with him, he did Goliath.
You mean Keith David. Peter David was the writer who wrote TMNT stuff.
Thank you very much for clarifying. Yes, Keith David, because he was also in They Live with Roddy Piper.
Right, yeah, got it.
Yeah, Keith David, absolutely amazing, 100%. Wonderful voice actor. Peter Welker.
Was Frank Peter Welker. Welker.
Frank Welker. See, why do I keep going back to Peter?
Peter Cullen, maybe? At least that would be correct.
I'm just going to start giving all of these names that start with Peter that are wrong, but the last name is correct.
Okay. Did you ever own anything based on a cartoon, toys, comics, coloring books, etc.? Obviously.
100%. So many toys. So many toys based on cartoons from He-Man, Transformers, G.I. Joe, Ninja Turtles, Bots Master. I'm just looking at my shelf right now. Wildcats, which is both a comic and a cartoon.
Yep.
Waterworld, which that movie was basically a cartoon.
Not animated.
Wasn't animated, but it might as well have been a cartoon. Let's be honest. I can make fun of it.
Yeah. Yeah, you can make fun of it all you want. I mean, you know, it sucks.
Captain Planet was a cartoon. Mm-hmm. Centurions, Lion, Thundercats, Braveheart I have, X-Men, the Toy Biz line, X-Men.
Yep.
I'm looking at Power Rangers was an animated, Street Sharks, Bucky O'Hare, Toxic Crusaders.
He's got a lot of toys, folks.
Biker Mice from Mars. I'm just going from what's on display, not even what's in storage. Biker Mice from Mars. I don't think Barnyard Commandos actually had a syndicated cartoon, but I have Barnyard Commandos, yeah.
Yeah.
Rambo.
Yep.
Silverhawks. Creepy Crawlies, that's an obscure one that I have a few pieces from. Double Dragon. James Bond Jr. Batman the Animated Series, I have a ton of.
Yep.
Yeah, so yes, I have a lot. Let's just say yes.
Go listen to episode 102 of ToyCast, folks. You'll hear all about Josh's toy collecting.
Oh, and I haven't even really gone into detail about it, but
So
we can move on.
Your favorite cartoon theme song is what?
King Arthur and the Knights of Justice. 100%. That has been on my YouTube workout playlist at least 500 times.
I don't even know if I remember that cartoon.
It's all on YouTube. It's awful in so many fun ways. I play it for my students. We'll watch like 5 minutes of an episode of this class once a week. So I'll get that season last them about the next 5 years.
All right, so you mentioned that. You've mentioned that a couple of times, but you think that's bad? I'll send you a link to the actual episode after the show, but I want you to compare that to a Transformers episode, a Decepticon Raider in King Arthur's Court.
So... You're laughing. But if I can work that into my curriculum, it's going to happen.
Well, of course. Yeah, I will send you the video after the podcast. How big
You're laughing hysterically. Like, I'm going to think it's ridiculous, but no. I embrace the ridiculous, sir. I am tenured.
I know you embrace the ridiculous, but it's just that episode. Oh, God. That episode is just so... Yeah. Anyway. How big or small is your animation DVD or digital collection?
Microscopic.
Okay.
Non-existent. I think I have... I might have season one of Gargoyles. I used to have season one of Exo Squad. I think I mailed it out to a friend of mine. I think my proudest collection of animation is actually the Muppet Babies bootleg series.
Oh, wow.
So I have the entire series of Muppet Babies on bootleg DVDs.
Wow.
That's I would say that's about it. I think I have the Family Guy Star Wars episodes on DVD. I don't know if you would count Robot Chicken as cartoons, or I mean it is animation. I don't know if you count it as cartoons.
But yeah,
I have a ton of Robot Chicken, but that's about it.
Yeah, that's cool. So you spend a lot of money on toys and all that kind of stuff, but what is the most money you spent on a cartoon item ever? DVD sets, sell, animation, print, etc.
DVD wise, I would say the Muppet Babies collection. I don't remember the price on it, but I remember just deciding to splurge on it because it'll never come out on Disney Plus. It'll never come out streaming service because of the copyright issues.
Yep.
I just saw a video about that. As far as cartoon items and toys, because that's where a lot of cartoon stuff usually went. Mm-hmm. I would say one of the most expensive cartoon items was the Ghostbusters playset, the Firehouse.
Firehouse, yeah.
That would probably be, and at the time it was only $70. But I think that was probably the most I spent on anything that was cartoon specific. Mm-hmm. I'd have to go through everything again because there's always periphery and parallel cartoon items that we can make the argument, like Castle Grayskull, for instance, the classic Castle Grayskull.
Yeah.
Which its original retail was $250 back in 2011 or so.
Yep.
Now it's worth way more money.
Yeah.
But I think it would be really hard to specifically say because I've gotten lots of toys. I once got a bunch of Biker Mice from Mars toys for about $100, took what I needed out of it, and then resold a lot for about $200.
Cool.
That's kind of fun, yeah. I guess. But it would be hard to say. I would Castle Grayskull or yeah.
Yeah.
Castle Grayskull is probably the most expensive cartoon item I own.
Okay, there you go. Do you have a My Parents Wouldn't Let Me Watch That Cartoon Story?
Beavis and Butthead.
Rightfully so.
They knew of it. They knew it was bad. They knew it was a problem. And unfortunately, and this is back before computers and internet, all they did was say, you're not allowed to watch it. But I think over time, as we got older, they just had to accept the fact that we were going to find a way to, whether we went to a friend's house or they weren't home or we just found ways to do it or we had TVs in our rooms. And I don't think my brothers and I really got into it very much. Like, I think we watched it. I think we appreciated it, but it was more like the Nintendo 64 game you would rent and play for a little bit. And you're like, oh, this is fun. And you'd quickly get bored with it and you move on because it just got repetitive.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. What is your opinion on the cartoon reboots, and which ones do you think have been the most successful?
I was a huge fan of the 2012 Ninja Turtles. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a very well-done series. I thought it was very well constructed. The writing was excellent. The storytelling, the arcs, everywhere it went was great. And I was really, really sad to see that it left. I did not think it deserved to be canceled. I think it should still be running to this day. It was just so well done. And I don't know why they decided it was done. Maybe they thought the story was done. I thought that was really one of the better cartoons to ever be rebooted and come out and really capture what nostalgia was, but also make you into new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, I haven't watched too many other cartoons. That was a cartoon that I really got into as an adult. I would actually wake up and as a routine sort of watch it on whatever streaming service I had at the time. And I would watch it every morning for 2 or 3 years and felt it just was just the toys were great. The show was great. Everything else as far as reboots lately, I unfortunately don't have a ton of time to watch and really get into. You'd have to specify maybe an example.
Some of the cartoons that have been out in the last 15, 16, 17, let's say almost 20 years now, I don't necessarily consider them a reboot, certain ones, because they're really not rebooting anything.
Oh. One just popped in my head because I saw I have a figure of it on my shelf.
Okay.
DuckTales.
All right, that was a reboot. Yeah.
Yes. I watched a few episodes. I think it was maybe because I'm an adult. It just didn't catch my attention.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved the cartoon as a kid.
Hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't have an active dislike for things. Like I can tell you right now, I hate doing my taxes. Hate it.
Yeah, right. Everybody does.
I don't have that feeling for cartoons. It's more just, I'm not interested. I'm going to move on. Maybe it's Zen. Maybe it's me just being pompous, but I don't have that active negative anger towards something, especially a cartoon anymore. Because there's people, I'm going to get on my soapbox for a second, but I totally understand that there are people out there who devote immense hours of their lives to these cartoons, to voicing them, drawing them, to writing them, to scripting them, hoping they're going to get to be big. For me to say, oh, I hate that, I feel is a little pompous of me, because I know what it's like to try to put your heart and soul into something and it having it flop. There's not really cartoons I hate. And I have to be mature enough to know that, like, hatred is a very immature emotion.
So for me, DuckTales was a reboot. TMNT, really, it's always a new incarnation. It's always a new spin on it. Like 2003 was a completely different spin than the 87 series. 2012 was a completely different spin than the 2003 So I don't consider those reboots. I don't consider Clone Wars and Rebels to be reboots of anything, because what are they rebooting? Droids and Ewoks? No one's going to reboot Droids and Ewoks. Like, come on now. So I think there's a difference between a franchise continuing on and telling some sort of new story versus a Transformers has Generation 1 has never been directly reboot. It's so weird. It's just so weird.
I think when it comes to reboots, the ultimate model for what people should follow, if they actually want a level of success, the ultimate model of what should be followed is the 2012 Ninja Turtles show. They pulled in inspiration from all different versions and iterations of the Ninja Turtles. Whether it was the movies or the cartoons or the toys or whatever, they pulled everything in. So there's a little of something for everyone.
Yeah.
And I'll admit, I watched Armada. I tried watching Armada. Let me rephrase that. I tried watching Armada.
It's okay.
I was in college at the time.
Yeah.
And typically on a Saturday night when I would watch Toonami on Cartoon Network, which is one of the few channels we got in my dorm, It was on. So let's say it was on at 7 o'clock. Let's just say it was on 7 o'clock. It could have been a different time, but that's usually around the time it was on.
Yeah.
Nobody's doing anything at 7 o'clock on a college campus at 7 o'clock. You know, we're usually eating dinner, getting ready, doing any other number of random things, right?
Yeah.
So I would be sitting there watching that cartoon block that was 2002, 2003. It was a really classic cartoon block. A lot of good stuff. And it had a lot of great references to stuff I liked about Transformers. And it was great. And I watched it. And I thought, okay, cool. Anime touch. I'm trying to understand anime better. It was cool. And then when it got to Energon, I was... Okay, this is back to trying to sell toys, and I'm not really interested.
What is your opinion of the cartoon sidekick, Snarf, Orko, etc.? Love them, hate them, just don't care either way.
I don't really care. I know what Slimer did to Ghostbusters in the later part of the run.
Right.
I know Slimer sort of destroyed Ghostbusters. It was kind of a Poochie and the Simpsons type of thing.
Yeah.
I understand the purpose that a lot of cartoon sidekicks sort of present and provide. Yeah. I'm indifferent otherwise. I just know that Slimer towards the end of Ghostbusters was one of the... Wow, my cat just knocked something over. Slimer was one of the things that probably destroyed the Ghostbuster series. So not fond of... I don't hate Slimer. I hate the writers and the producers who allowed that to happen.
Yeah. In your opinion, which decade represents the golden era of cartoons and why? 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, or 2010s?
So I think my only problem with that is trying to create bookends of just the decades, as if you ask anybody who lived through the late 80s to the early 90s, there wasn't that much of a difference. There was that overlap of the late 80s into the early 90s, and then I would say around 93, 94 is where you really start getting away from what the 80s were. That's just my impression. So I can't say 80s, I can't say 90s. For me, the sweet spot is 82 to 94. That's the sweet spot for me.
There you go. All right. Some people view cartoons as something for children and don't view animation as a serious form of media that adults should consume. Who should cartoons be made for, in your opinion?
Anyone. But I think media is just how you deliver a message. Claymation, live action, animation, whatever you want to do. The media is just how you deliver the story you want to tell. If you have a good story, I don't care if it's live action, practical effects, or if it's stop motion. I just want a good story and something that's visually appealing to follow. Most of the movies we watch, The Flash recently, I didn't see it, but I've seen a lot of critiques of it. The Flash should just be called a cartoon because very little of that is actually live action people doing things. If you watch the making of, if you watch some of the critiques of the animation, I'll send you a video later, which I think is fascinating, as it's actual FX guys who do computer animation. They're watching it. They're like, wow, this is good. This is bad. Whatever. It's fascinating. But that's the thing, is the media, as long as it supports a good story, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If the story is kind of weak, you're going to start focusing more on the media. And if the media doesn't hold up, you're going to get grumpy. So there are so many good movies, so many good stories that have been delivered in media that maybe doesn't hold up as well. But because you're so enraptured in the characters and the story, you don't care if the effects don't hold up. Terminator 1, the effects do not hold up. No. But I'm enraptured in the story and the characters. So there are bad cartoons not, let me rephrase that. There are badly animated cartoons that I'll watch because I love the story. Just like you said with Transformers, some of that animation doesn't hold up.
Yeah.
But because you enjoy the story, do you care?
Most of the time, no. But no. This question is more of, like, I remember back in the day, like in the mid to late 90s, when I was a teenager kind of thing, when I was about to, you know, go through and graduate high school. And you even had this in the 80s, too, where these politicians or whoever it was would come on TV and say, cartoons are for kids. Adults should not be. That's what this question is. Again, who are cartoons made for? It, like you said at the beginning of this, they're made for everybody because yeah. anybody can get into them, no matter how old you are. Just because you grow up, you may step away from watching cartoons doesn't mean you're completely gone. Doesn't mean you can't go back and watch cartoons you like.
It's whoever likes the
stuff.
I think it's for whatever. Like yeah. I'm not as concerned about. Oop! All right, cat. We're in a very serious conversation. I have a cat who decides they want to take a long walk on my keyboard. Get over here. So I don't think cartoons are for any age group, any type of person. If they are enraptured in the story, more power to them, you know?
Mm-hmm. There you go. All right. On a completely different note, we are now entering the Cartoon Fantasy Fun Land. These are five questions that are made up and the points don't matter. If you could own any vehicle featured in a cartoon, which would it be?
Ooh. Should have prepared more for this. You know what? I want to take a road trip. I want to travel a long distance. I want to be comfortable, but I want to be stylish. I will take the Party Wagon from the Ninja Turtles cartoon.
There you go. All right. If you could live in any cartoon world that you wanted, where would you live?
I would be dead in 5 minutes in almost all of them.
Okay, but Cartoon Fantasy Funland, it doesn't matter.
Okay, Captain Planet. And here's why. Because there's a universe, there's a cartoon where the world actually cares about doing something to make sure that future generations aren't going to destroy themselves. And you have a superhero who's got unlimited powers to make sure that happens. I'm down with that. Give me Captain Planet, especially if it's what's his name playing Captain Planet?
David,
the guy who was War Machine.
Oh. Crap.
That's not his name.
Dorian Harewood?
No.
You're talking about Don Cheadle was not.
Yeah. He did a Funny or Die thing. As,
oh, okay. I don't think I saw that one. That's interesting, though. All right. Let's see. Who would be your top three Toon Pals to join you and become a quartet?
Great question. Give me Bucky O'Hare.
Mm-hmm.
The Bots Master, because he can make more buddies.
That's cheating, but okay.
Yeah, I cheated. And, you know, actually the one gargoyle I think I'd love to hang out with and I think I'd have the most fun with is Broadway.
Very cool. All right, again, reminder, fiction. This is fiction. If you could date any cartoon character, which one would it be?
Is my wife listening?
It's fiction. Does she ever listen to your podcasts?
On occasion, I think we'll find out for sure this time.
Yes!
We'll definitely find out on this one. So, as a kid, I had a massive crush. And I think every kid at least had one cartoon crush, so I don't feel weird saying this. Was Elisa Mazza from Gargoyles.
Very cool, very cool. All right, before we get out of here for the...
I'm so relieved you're not asking any follow-up questions on that. Like, explain why, or...
Oh, we don't need details. It's just simple. It's bullet time questions, folks.
Your discretion is appreciated, sir.
What is the holy grail of cartoon artifacts? The Sword of Omens, the Matrix of Leadership, the Power Sword, etc.?
As I'm looking around my room where I have a lot of cartoon toys, which really represent a lot of the depths of cartoon information, I would say Ninja Turtle Mutagen Ooze.
You ooze, you lose. We are now exiting the cartoon fantasy fun land. Final question. What is one piece of advice you'd give cartoon fandom in general?
To be perfectly honest, it would be to understand that as you get older, it's okay that your tastes change and the way you view media is also going to change. Your brain just functions differently, ideally. Ideally, your brain has developed enough that it functions differently. But it's not to hold the lore of old cartoons as close to your heart as some people might hold religion or politics, which is even dangerous in its own right. I think you have to sort of understand that a lot of the toys that if you're in your 30s or your 40s, a lot of the toys that you have, a lot of the cartoons you have, the cartoons were commercials for those toys. They may have had more developed stories than just simple toy commercials. Like, how many times did the bridge layer show up in G.I. Joe? Hey, Flint, all of a sudden there's a river in our way. What should we get? We should get the new bridge layer. Bring it in, guys. 10 episodes like that. I'm being I'm exaggerating. I'm being hyperbolic or hyperbolic. But I think knowing that it's okay to get away from the lore of these things, it's okay not to say that there's nothing better than those, and that every iteration of Ninja Turtles, every new iteration of Ninja Turtles and G.I. Joe isn't killing your childhood. You're an adult. Childhood was the shortest time of your life. If you don't like the new media, don't watch it. Go back and watch old Ninja Turtles. Go back and watch old G.I. Joe. Nothing is going to feel the same as when you were a kid. Nothing's going to look the same. It was the first time you experienced it. So stop taking yourself so seriously. Sit back. Enjoy the ride. Let people enjoy the things they want. I think that's the same thing I said on my... Mm-hmm. Toy Origins podcast, but it's just there's so many people out there who do not want to enjoy new things because the way you perceive them isn't how you perceive them and you remember them as a child. It's just psychological. It's your brain is different. There's so many things that I would say, oh, that's not the way I did it as a kid or as a adolescent, so it's not right. That's not the case. You're a kid. You don't know better. You're easily distracted. Like, I don't know. It pretty much just comes down to everybody needs to chill out and be a normal human being.
There you go. All right, folks, would you like to be on the Origins episode here at Tooncast? Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com with the subject line Tooncast Origins Guest Spot. You must have 1 year or more of podcast experience, have a good microphone, and be on Skype. Right now, we're going to take a commercial break, hear some ads and some other stuff, and we'll come back to close the show right after this.
We are Two Mics, Two Furious, a podcast where we watch every episode of Transformers Animated and discuss from two different points of view. I'm Mike Seibert, and I've never watched Transformers Animated before, and guiding me on this journey is author Michael Andrews.
Hello! Yes, longtime Transformers Animated fan, serial rewatcher. I've seen it plenty of times.
So if you've never watched Transformers Animated but always wanted a reason to, now's your chance. Likewise, if you've binged the series several times, it's a great reason to watch through again with us. Because regardless, if you're a seasoned vet or a newbie, there's something for every fan. Because I ask questions.
Why is Prowl such a dick?
So that he can be not a dick later, I think is the answer.
Subscribe to Two Mics, Two Furious on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode.
Are we coming off furious enough? I feel like we're not living up to the... Are we supposed to be, like, more angry, more fired up? We're really in a good mood. We really enjoy talking to each other.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics?
Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Yo, Joe, and welcome to the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast, where a punk rock band of brothers get together to talk about one of our shared loves, toy collecting.
Toy hunt by day, punk rock band by night. We'll take any excuse to get in the band.
We all collect different toy lines like those real American heroes.
G.I. Joe!
To the toys that are more than meets the eye, Transformers.
To He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
From vintage to modern and all topics in between, you can always expect some rowdy and passionate discussion because we love talking toys here on the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe Podcast from the universe and beyond.
On the Simplistic Reviews Podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk.
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
All right, Toonsters, we are back here on Tooncast. This is episode 302. I don't know what's coming up next. I have no clue. Josh, any final thoughts before I run through the closing?
Cartoons are awesome. Enjoy what you enjoy. Like what you like. Just don't be a jerk. And if it's got a great opening entrance, especially in the 90s, put that on your workout list. You'll appreciate it later.
There you go. As always, we want to thank you for joining us here on Tooncast. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send us email, as I mentioned earlier, to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple, Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please. Spotify and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on X, at GCR and Tooncast, and at Tooncast Beyond for the show. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio for the network. I am at TFG1Mike. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekcastRadioNetwork. You can also check out and look for Tooncast All Tunes all the time over there as well. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast. You'll join us next time. We'll be giving you our thoughts on something. I have no plan at this point, folks. For now, I am TFG1Mike with
Josh the Floorburger.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. Oh, yeah. And unleash the tune in you.
I'm concerned about April.
What is it, Raphael? A threatening note? Worse than that. It's the check!